Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into the podcast. My name is Steele, and you are with Jumpsuit Group. Like always, I'm going to keep this intro real short. We got Sam Breslin on. He tells a kick-ass story about how he started Platform Athletics, a performance training software for high schools across the country. Enjoy the podcast. Y'all rock for tuning in. If you got any feedback, hit us with it at Jumpsuit Group. Peace. All right, so we're at Platform headquarters in Framingham, Mass, right?
That's right.
And they just moved in here with Sam Breslin, who is the
co-founder and one of the original idea men behind the platform, but now just a member of a 10-person team.
Nice. Dude, so Platform started when exactly?
Oh, man, the idea and the legal entity that was Platform Athletics started in 2012, but as it exists today, we're really about 2.5, 3 years old as the company exists today. It's begun more as a passion project and a side hobby thing. The team that you see here and the company that exists on a day-to-day really didn't begin until 2016, fall of 2016.
Nice. Yeah, so like a lot of the people in our networks probably know what Platform is because we have our networks overlap. You and I went to the same high school, different years, whatever, but yeah. A lot of people here also went to our high school too.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool. It's been a blessing in disguise to have a network of people that you know and trust and you kind of know beyond the professional resume that somebody might submit to your company. You know them on a personal level and you know you can trust them. And that's been huge for us because a small team like this, every single person is an MVP. So that's the only way you can grow a small company like that. And we've been really lucky with the people that we've added over the last 2 years.
Nice. So Platform is more or less like it's a physical training performance tracking system, right?
There is really no wrong way to say it or even right way these days because it's so new and kind of amorphous in what it is. But what we like to call it is an online fitness education platform for athletics and physical education in high school. Mm-hmm. We want to provide a holistic fitness education for all kids that go through high school, and then for those that are working to compete in athletics, an outlet for performance training, the knowledge, the tools, the experience, as well as the programming to be the best version of themselves. Because at that level, generally speaking, you don't have somebody that is a full-time strength and conditioning coach that has the one requisite knowledge and two the time to train everybody. So we're trying to bridge that gap so that everybody has the same experience that you might get at a next level school that has somebody that's full-time or at the next level if you were to play athletics in college.
Yeah, I talk about that a lot because like obviously I played lacrosse and even the trainers at my school, no offense, didn't really know what they were doing. And like in high school, I had no idea what I was doing when I was training. I was like bench pressing, right? And how many times do I bench press anything in lacrosse?
Right. You know? Well, the crazy thing about it is you're not wrong that even at the next level, the hole is large with regards to just really good, experienced, and then more importantly, pervasive strength and conditioning or just fitness knowledge because it's not a profession that has a lot of high-end experts, and there are a lot of places that need it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the colleges, even at the D1 level, I mean, we had a great strength coach at Colgate, but you'd say that even compared to today's day and age, that was probably behind the eight ball as well. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping to kind of solve that at the high school level because that's woefully inadequate. I mean, we've done the research, and then even that people that report as having or being a strength and conditioning coach at the high school level is less than 25% of all high schools. And then, so you can imagine that if 75 plus don't even have a human being that is considered as such, that you're missing out on something because everybody is either being required to learn and or perform fitness in PE. And we all know if we played athletics in high school, like you're told you should go work out.
Yeah.
But what do you do?
Yeah, who's actually like showing you what?
And then what happens is most kids go online, they like Google lacrosse program, mm-hmm. and they get one off stack.com or wherever the kid, and that's all well and good. And like the programming is, we can argue that till we're blue in the face. What you're supposed to be doing is, I care more about, are you doing it right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some basics that you can do that every athlete can do that's going to make you a better athlete. You can squat, you can push, you can pull, you can lunge, you can hinge, and all those great things. But doing them correctly is the big gap. Mm-hmm. I was benching and squatting in high school, and I did neither of them correctly.
Yep.
At all.
Yeah.
And we cleaned because we did BFS, mm-hmm. but I also didn't know what a clean was in the truest sense of it, as I do now, which is really the revelation we had was, as a part of the inception of Platform, is realizing that it was the education. It was kids that want to be better will learn. They will dive in, but you actually have to be given a really comprehensive education, because as you know now, like the things you know about fitness now compared to what you used to know,
dude, it
and believe,
the game.
And yeah. believe, yeah. Well, that's the thing is like, man, you know, I wish I had this back in the day,
mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of us when I was in high school that were really into just playing football and track and other things, and we went and spent every day in the gym. But now I'm realizing how much time I wasted. I benched like 4 times a week, right?
Yeah.
Like, as you said, not only is it the least functional of all of the movements with regards to sports performance, I did it 4 times a week.
Right.
Which like, completely goes against everything you're supposed to do. So, we're really just trying to be that bridge to the high school athlete and student, because even if you're not engaged in athletics, I think you should be given a very comprehensive and holistic fitness education. You can make your own decision whether or not you want to be engaged with it beyond class time is on you, but I think in today's world it's probably the biggest lesson that's missing in mm-hmm. education, hence the obesity rates and diabetes and all of the other issues that are facing society today. But I never thought of myself as somebody that would like fitness for fitness sake.
Mm-hmm.
I now, as an adult, love it, and I think I probably would have enjoyed it more, including all of my athletic stuff, if I had been given the right education.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're trying to live and be for high school kids across the country.
Nice. So you mentioned that in high school you're playing football and all that. Take like a step back to when did you graduate? 2004.
Four. Yep.
Yeah. So like, start somewhere around there and just like talk about your sports path, right? And what led you to what, like, fitness for fitness sake now?
Yeah. The passion for football has been since I think I begged my dad to find me a Pop Warner team because when I was in second grade, because Wayland didn't have one back then, so mm-hmm. I had to go to LS Lincoln Sudbury to play. Played all through elementary and middle school. And then started high school football freshman year. I've been in love with football ever since. I played all 4 years of high school. I went and played a year of football at Northfield Mount Hermon for a PG year.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went and played 4 years at Colgate University, which was a really nice blend of the academics and the D1 football lifestyle, where I learned a lot about football, played both sides of the ball. And then actually is where I met my co-founder, Alex. He was my quarterback. I was a wide receiver. We had a lot of great times together. And then me and him actually went overseas and played football together in Finland, of all places. That was a really wild world experience. It was a lot of fun. I got hurt, unfortunately. Was blessing in disguise in one sense, in that it brought me to coaching, because they actually kept me on as a coach there, as opposed to sending me home and voiding the contract. But
what was the level of football in Finland like versus like D1?
I'd say it was probably more. It would trend more towards like a general D2 football program in the States. There were some teams in the league, so it was like a national Finnish league. It was one of the leagues that kind of fell into place, or at least rose to prominence, when NFL Europe disbanded. So mm-hmm. like anybody that was looking for that level of football over there, I'd say it was kind of like a D2, but there were some teams that were, I'd say, a Colgate level that we went in and got smacked by. But then there were other teams that were like D2, D3, and you know, it was a lot of fun. It was really the coaching that was the difference. There's all the same. I mean, you're going to get the same amount of athletes anywhere in the world, but they didn't grow up with football,
mm-hmm.
and the coaches weren't as well experienced, well educated. So communicating the game was probably the hardest part. But that was what it was actually kind of fun, because, like I said, I turned to coaching because I shattered my wrist badly enough that I was just there like, you you physically can't play.
No shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So like, I mean, I'm.
Oh my god.
It doesn't even work.
Yeah.
So and I have to have it all cut out.
Are there like plates and screws and stuff in there?
Unfortunately, no. I opted for no surgery, which has been the problem because now I need to have like half the bones of my wrist removed.
Damn.
So that anyways. Sucks. But like I said, he brought me to coaching, and then when I came home. Coach P, who you know, was my high school coach, was like, hey, do you want to try coaching? And I was like, before I'd gotten a job, I was still 22 or whatever the case may be. I was like, yeah, screw it. Took one fall to be like, okay, yeah. I really enjoy this. So I've been doing that. This is my 10th year coaching football this fall, which is crazy.
So after I stopped playing lacrosse, I started coaching, right? Mm-hmm. And I coached at Babson for my first coaching gig.
Yep.
And I remember I was sitting on the sidelines and I was like, I fucking hate this. I was like, because it was the level that I stopped playing at, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, all I want to do is be out there. And I looked at their team, and I'm like, the player they need is, like, a good attacker. And that's what I am. And I'm like, this just hurts. And then I went back to high school.
Right? Yeah, I think it helped that maybe I was doing the high school thing. I think also, I mean, unfortunately, and it was not easy for me to do, but when I was in Finland, getting over the fact that, like, I mean, I knew I was never going to be able to play anything athletically ever again.
Because of the wrist?
Yeah, but I can't do anything. I can barely hold a pencil. Like it hurts to hold my phone at night if I'm like laying in bed. So I knew that pretty quickly. And then the cool thing was though, and I don't know if it was, you know, chicken or egg, was it because I knew I wasn't going to play or what? I found pretty quickly I actually enjoyed coaching more.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, yes, absolutely. Would I like to be on a field?
Yeah.
100%. But I think I liked seeing other, you know, kids that were me. I mean, it was the same school. I'm only a few years older than them, and it was like me looking. It was like me looking in a mirror that just to the past, and seeing them succeed. Like Ian Bonner, who now works with us, and he's a peer of mine. I coached him his senior year.
Yeah,
like that's you cool. know, putting in a play that he did in a certain way that we had talked about all week, and they score a touchdown. Like that.
Yeah,
for me, I enjoyed more than scoring a touchdown in high school and college. So, I do agree. There is an element of man, like it's hard to let the game go, but I found a different way to hold on to the game.
Mm-hmm.
I love the science behind football. I think maybe even more than the physical act of playing it.
Yep.
I like the X's and O's a lot. That's been what I've kind of enjoyed the last, you know, 10 years. Football has been since the last 20 years of my life.
Yep.
So still going strong somehow. I still love the Pats. Still, I went and saw Colgate play Army over the weekend. You know, I somehow can't get enough. But
yeah, dude, once it's in the blood, once the athleticism's there, you're never going to...
Hard to let it go.
You're never going
to
stop. I remember when I stopped playing, and I was in the gym one time, like the year after I graduated, and I'm looking in the mirror, I'm like wearing all my sweats from college. I'm like, why am I even training right now? I'm like, I don't have anything. But then you're like,
you gotta
flip your mindset, right?
You have to find something.
Yeah.
Because your entire life has been like, you work to a date or a point or a level, and then you see how that goes, and then you work to the next one.
Yep.
I have to do that. Like, I go through spurts of like what I'm training for. Is it like this type of fitness, that type of fitness, and strength, cardio, just because I need something like a goal regularly. Because I'm so used to that. It used to be like, you know, football ends and you have, all right, camp starts next August.
Yep.
Let's get ready.
I gotta get faster. I gotta get stronger.
Gotta get bigger. Whatever. Gotta get stronger. Gotta get faster. So, I'm with you.
It's a weird transition, but then like once you find it, once you just figure out your new mindset, it works again.
Absolutely. Yeah. You find that you can kind of dive into a lot of different things that same way. The competitive edge that people love about athletics, you can find in a lot of other places in life, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought myself lucky that I can find them in other ways, because I don't think everybody necessarily does. But I've found ways to keep myself motivated.
Yeah. Well, business, right? So you like
exactly.
Start a business, you bring that mindset.
You go, hey, here's a project, let's give it a shot.
Yeah.
And you see just how far you can take it. And then it's really, I mean, when push comes to shove, it's all about winning.
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to succeed? You know, and then like you change your mind about what succeeding is. I mean, I can say, yeah, we've succeeded, but now I'm like, no, it's not going to be until we hit this point or
right.
that point or this, you know. Business has become a big part of that, and just, you know, platform, and you know, this is our team.
Yeah.
So you know, having teammates, it's not a solo thing. It's all very comparable.
Mm-hmm. So you graduate Colgate, go play in Europe.
Yep.
Then at what point did you and It's Alex.
Alex,
right?
Yes, yeah. Alex.
What point did you and Alex be like have a sit down or like, dude, we should do this?
Yeah, so I forget. It was, I think, maybe my second year coaching. I basically just kind of became the de facto strength guy just because we didn't really have a program or anything like that at the high school. And, you know, I just left Colgate and we had a program. And I was like, I think I can at least deliver some sort of element of that to our guys, and I think they would eat it up, and it happened to be the group that, you know, ended up going to the Super Bowl, so they were very motivated, so it was a good timing. And, you know, spent the whole year doing that, and Coach B at one point was like, hey man, I really appreciate you taking all the time to do this. And I was like, yeah, no problem, I enjoy it. Out of curiosity, like, what does everybody else do? Like, what other teams do? And he's like, not much really. Like, I know Akin Barksdale, they just tell them to go lift and they go to Gold's Gym on their own.
Yep.
Interesting. Like, I feel like there's got to be a better way. And I had that idea, and honestly, I actually had the idea like probably 2010 or 2011. And, but then all of a sudden, it was like a year later, and I got a call from Alex. I was in Southie on like a Marathon Monday, actually.
Oh, shit. So you're banged up.
I was in a very creative mindset, let's say. And he was like, hey, so I talked to our buddy, our mutual friend, Colgate. He was like, he said you had an idea that I just apparently had like a couple weeks ago about strength and conditioning for high schools. And we, at this point, it was just high school football programming, you know, bringing that level of training to the average high school football program that generally just doesn't happen. They, you know, they have a coach that opens a weight room and says go lift and knows that you should squat or bench or whatever, and he buys BFS or whatever those cards were that we used to buy that comes with nothing else. And we were like, I think we could probably try to make a better answer to that. We came up with the idea of platform. Honestly, looking back now, I don't even remember where the inspiration for the name came from. It ended up being a double meaning of like a software platform and also where you lift. You know, a rack is also called a platform.
Right.
So we put those two together. We came up with the idea in 2012 and registered the business name and, you know, got a bank account, and we actually went to his dad first for our seed round, essentially, for a loan, and put a bunch of our money in, and then more money than we thought we would need.
It's always that way, right?
Yeah. So that was the biggest lesson in business I've learned, is you always need more than you think you do. And we spent the next year hiring out a third-party web development company, which turned out to be a scam. This guy was fronting as a company, and he wasn't. He was just a contractor that contracted out to everybody else, and he went bankrupt like a year and a half in, and we were kind of stuck. And
so you just had like a half-built platform.
We released one after a year, and we realized, like, wow, it took us a year to get to this point, and this point is basically like, it looked like it was built in the 80s. It barely did anything we wanted it to do. But it was enough to at least technically go to market. It was as MVP as you get as a, you know, market viable product, minimal viable product. But we actually had some customers, which was shocking.
That's pretty sick. You sold something, right?
Without trying. Like, they came to us. Like, it was like Scott knew somebody, and they bought it without talking to us. And then we went to a clinic, somebody bought it. Went to another clinic, somebody bought it. We're like, okay, all right, well, you know, at least it's moving. Very slowly, because we were both working. The next year, we put every dollar that we earned back in, because we realized that what we should have done is create an even smaller product, test it with a bunch of people, see what their feedback is, get real users' feedback, because we just kind of guessed on everything. We tried to go for broke the first time.
Yep.
Realized,
which never works.
That's not how you do it.
Yeah.
We didn't know. I mean, our inexperience has been a both blessing and a curse, because we don't think anything's impossible, and we also just treat everything as common sense now, but we've also made them missteps that if you read one book, you'd be like, don't do that.
Yeah, that's what they tell you. They're like, build something as small as you possibly can and make sure like people actually want it.
Yeah.
Or you're like, it has this feature and this feature and this feature, and then you end up not using.
Totally missed the iterative features. Design process the first time around. But luckily, we kind of backed our way into it a little bit longer than it would have normally taken, but we did it by accident, essentially, in that we spent the next year revamping it. Now we were working with the guy that had been contracted out by the guy that we had hired, he stayed on and we were paying him direct.
So you skipped the middleman.
So, well, and thank God. So this guy, it turns out, he's now our CTO and he works in Chicago. And
really?
So, yeah. Very roundabout way of finding a good development team, which now we have 6 people in Ukraine managed by him in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, long story short, we put some more money into it, and finally got to something that we would consider like what probably should have been our real first like release to the market beyond testing.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, Dana Sherry, another Brown alum and somebody who was living in my house at the time coaching high school football, was going to go to get his MBA in the following summer. So we had 9 months. We were like, you know what? We're going to see if this thing's for real. We're going to go full time. Dan, we're going to hire you. Help sell it because neither of us knew sales. And he was from Oracle and then Rapid7, something like that. He had been a sales guy for however many years. And we spent 9 months and we ended up signing up something like 120 high schools across the country, just doing a little bit of email marketing and online demos with data. And it was enough to basically pad the resume so that we could actually think about raising money formally, which mm-hmm. we did with a group called Genis, which is, yet again, Wayland Connections. Yep. It's Alex, Jenny, his father, a couple of kids that he played Dartmouth football with together, Rod Fletcher, also Wayland father. They had a company that is basically called kind of like an incubator, accelerator for sports startups.
That's
marriage perfect, made in heaven.
Yeah, perfect synergy.
And we raised money in the fall of 2016. I think I have the dates right. And that was talk about an eye-opening process. We did that. And then our first kind of order of business is we hired, big shocker, I guess maybe the entire theme of today's talk, 2 ex-Wayland football players, one being J.C. Murtaugh, who I had coached him and his brother, and Ian Bonner, who I had coached, as well as all of his brothers.
Yep.
Both, one, J.C. just got graduated, came in as a business development rep, and Ian, we hired as the director of sales. He'd been at Oracle for three years maybe, and he was killing it, and it was hard. We had to really sell him, but we got him, and that changed the game for us dramatically.
Dude, I remember I was in my bedroom, and I got a call from Ian, and he's like, hey, can I talk to you about something? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, I think I'm going to leave Oracle. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, like, Breslin called me, and like, he gave me the pitch on platform, and like, do you have any like advice? And I'm like, do it. And I was like, get out of Oracle. Like, yeah.
It's funny because like that's when it's hard for us because me and Alex are always like, why wouldn't you try this?
Right.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
But from the outside looking in, it's still one of those things that like, you know, for us, all I see is everybody here. If you're talented enough that we want you,
mm-hmm.
this company could go under tomorrow. You're all going to get phenomenal jobs because you're all really talented people, and now your resume is even bigger.
Right.
You're a couple years older, you're going to get a higher paying job. You're going to get a higher level experience job, etc. But it is tough because, I mean, you're coming into an unknown. And at that point, we were working out of a tiny shoebox, smaller than this conference room in our current office.
No shit. This room's like 10 by 10.
Think we were, it was actually, no, it was 20 by 10, 200 square feet.
And you had how many people in there?
Like, well, eventually we got up to, if you count interns this summer before we were trying like hell to move in here, we got up to like 8 or 9.
In like a 20 by 10 space?
People were working in the kitchen. So it was in CrossFit Tilt, which was my buddy, and a Wayland actually guy that LJ DiCarlo was the other half of that management. Him and Max went into that gym together. Now they have 3 gyms. But we moved in there, just Alex and I and Dana, and that blossomed into Alex, I, Ian, JC, which became Alex, I, Ian, JC, Doug, a non-football but Wayland alum that had graduated from Trinity, also like JC, who had been a swimmer,
mm-hmm.
Brought him in. And then we grew another one when Taylor came on board, which was a friend of a Bryant connection of Ian,
mm-hmm.
As our marketing director. And then this summer we had Colin, who is a strength coach from most recently Wentworth, but also Fordham, and he had played football and ran track at Syracuse. And we just kind of started growing, and we desperately needed a new office. So we raised money again this past spring, mostly because of the personnel and obviously location issues. We wanted to hire more people and we wanted to move. And now we're here, which has been also a very headache-filled process, but a lot of fun too. So yeah, it's nice to be here.
There's potential here. Like, yes. You look at this place and you're like, this looks like a place where you guys should be versus like a shoebox,
yes,
right?
Oh yeah. My God, the difference walking in here compared to where we were is... But I can't say anything bad about it because it was 2 years of CrossFit Tilt that gave us the launching pad to do everything we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And we got... You know, the cool thing is we had free memberships and we had run in the gym. Max works for us too. So yeah. He's the one you see in all the videos. It was somehow we've backed our way into a lot of really nice partnerships and situations. Very probably unconventional, even in the unconventional world of startups. But as you probably know, there is no real right way to do it. And sometimes it's just right place, right time, and right people. Mm-hmm. You get the right people, and you know the right people. If you have the right relationships with people, you're pretty golden. So, we're in quote unquote Platform HQ, which is a pretty cool thing to say.
Yeah, it's sick.
It's got a lot of potential. We're in a lot more space than we need right now, but we have the next 5 years here theoretically. So,
true.
Hopefully, everything just continues on the up, and we can see where it goes. We'll be very excited when the actual gym element gets in.
Yeah, there's like a big space. If anyone is trying to visualize it, it's a giant rectangle, and like one end has this open space where the gym's going to go.
Yes, yeah. It's an old mill, which is a cool, very startup-ish location. Mm-hmm. It's going to be kind of half office, half gym, so we can film all of our demo and instructional videos, which goes along with that fitness education product that we offer. So we're very excited.
So I feel like you and I came from the same like time period, right? Where like we saw everything before technology.
Sure.
And then now we're living in a time where that's all we do. So like you witnessed all the pain points of like going through high school football and probably a lot of college football without like a real...
I didn't have a cell phone in high school.
So. Right? And then now like you're like, you were able to build a platform that now you know you can use because you have a smartphone, but you also know what kids are looking for because that's exactly what you were looking for.
Well, and it's, I think the biggest thing for us is not only that we had kind of lived through it ourselves in the sense that, we were those athletes. I think what's been more powerful for us is everyone here coaches high school athletics in some fashion. So while I don't pretend to know kids the same as when I was one, we at least experience the day-to-day for kids and coaches. Yep. So it's a lot easier for us to be like, okay, well, this would make sense in the product that's serving this group of people. Mm-hmm. And I also think it means a lot for any customer of ours, whether they're a PE teacher or a football coach or a volleyball coach or whatever, to know that the person on the other end of the line, like, had practice yesterday.
Right.
And they get it. They're like, oh, this kid that's got this problem. And you're like, I understand. I'm with you.
Yeah.
And that goes a long way. And it drives everything we do, from product to marketing to just customer support. I mean, we're probably over the top with our customer support. We try to be 24/7 text, phone.
That's what you need to do in tech, sort of like you're competing with these 100%. Giant tech companies who are like, just outsource to India, right?
I hate when I call somebody and it's not somebody that could potentially be it on the road. So we're not going to do that. I think, and the crazy thing was, like, when we first came up with the idea of the website, like, app had no, that was not part of the map.
Really?
I mean, so we're 2012, you think about it, like, that was, like, only big time companies had apps.
True. I think that's what I got, like, Instagram back when, like, no one knew what Instagram was in, like, 2012. Right.
Like, I think even Twitter was still young at that. Mm-hmm. Like, it was the kind of the forage. We didn't, it wasn't like in the world today now, it's like you have a company, it almost doesn't matter what you do, you need to have an app.
Right.
But before, like, we survived shockingly without an app until, we didn't have one until last fall. It was all web-based. Now we had our web apps that you could download and it was all optimized. No formal native app.
Yeah, but dude, this is like perfect for an app. You log on, it's like customized to you.
So that's where we live now. I mean, it is 100% iOS and Android apps. And that's the easiest and most useful element of the tool. But we still have all, the web version's even a little bit more robust with all the different like analytics and reporting that you can do and stuff. But the app's a game changer. And it is funny to be a company that is full app after being a high school athlete that didn't have a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
I was just getting handed out cardboard printout of Bigger, Faster, Stronger's workout.
Right. Program. Like stick it in your backpack and I can't read my
It says deadlift and I'm like, I'm not really sure what to do here. I assume this means you pull it off the ground, but that's all I know. Whereas now I can be like, all right, well, I wonder what deadlift is. Do you want a you know, 10-second demo video? Do you want a 2-minute explanation video? Do you want a 10-minute teaching?
And you can click in the app and, like, see what?
Yeah, I mean, it'll have the video pop right up, and it'll talk about it. And,
that's sick.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, again, like, you know, I think it's important that, like, a high school kid gets a great program for athletics, but I think more importantly, a good program done well is better than a great program done poorly. Mm-hmm. Like, if you do the things that you're going to do well, if you know what you're doing, I'd rather you spend a half an hour doing something really, really well than an hour doing a bunch of things not at all.
Like, right.
You know, when I used to see kids clean and deadlift when I came in, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
One, you're going to hurt yourself. Two, you're also not getting much out of the
right.
workout.
They're just willing to weight from the ground all the way up to, like, some weird shoulder position.
Not
right?
gaining anything. Yeah. So, everything we do, I mean, there's every workout has a, I mean, it could be a 500 word brief. If you want to read it, understand what, why, when, how.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you got the app. You have an office now that's, like, supporting a 10-person team, right?
Yeah.
What's, like, your next 5 years look like until you move out of this place?
Yeah, I mean, really, not to be cliche, but right now the entire motive, the entire process is just about growth. You know, the tech ed industry is not exactly something that moves super, super fast.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we're growing quickly, it's a very incremental process. You're going school to school, you're dealing with budgets and you know, budget cycles. So even while everything's going great, it's still going to be a few years before, you know, there's like 45,000 secondary schools in the country. Even if you call it 25,000 of, you know, accurate, you know, real attainable market, I think us plus any of our very kind of similar or dissimilar competitors, there's maybe 1,500, 2,000 people using anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's even been in the last 3-4 years. So it's going to take some time, and we just need to get in front of as many schools and see if we can get as many people as possible using the platform product. So right now it's just about growth. We have the team we need. We've kind of put all the pieces in place. Now it's time to go get it.
Cool. Can, like, individuals use it if I wanted to just download it?
So not yet. We've talked about that kind of ad nauseum. The reason that we think that there is at least a potential there, especially for kids that are in high school, use platform and then leave high school.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're not playing athletics in college, but they want to do something. They want to continue what they've been doing. The issue is that there is some work to be done on there, and then it's a different market, and it's a market that is flooded with other products.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we will eventually at some point. That's 100% part of our plan. The issue is just, you know, when is it worth the squeeze?
Right.
When is the juice worth the squeeze? So figuring out when that happens. Right now, like, when people like yourself or other, you know, former players or even athletes at other schools that we don't know that ask, like, hey, can I download this? We'll just add them to test accounts and let them use it. You know, we don't want to just say, hey, sorry, you can't use our stuff anymore.
That's awkward, but it's like, it's true. You're going for schools and programs,
we want to get in front of as many high school kids as physically possible, and then eventually we'll have the ability to say, hey, if you're interested in, you know, keeping up after graduation, go ahead and download it for, $8 a month or 10 bucks, whatever the case may be. But right now, no, but it's in the works.
Cool. All right, so we'll wrap this up with a little, like, 2020 vision, looking back in hindsight, right? So, if I was you,
mm-hmm.
right, but I was 2012, what would you tell yourself?
Oh, man.
Like, well, piece of advice.
One, raise money before you start the company.
Okay. Why?
Apparently, it's easier to get the money before you've even proven that it works.
Huh.
Because the moment you start, everybody looks at, like, well, what have you actually done? What business have you done?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter really that you've bootstrapped everything. It doesn't matter that if you're profitable or not. If you're only making $50K a year because you're both working other jobs or whatever, hard to sell that to.
Right.
They're like, well, you've been doing this for 2 years and it's only 50 grand. Well, yeah, well, we haven't really been doing it. Whereas opposed to, like, you go to, you know, a group of people with the idea and the potential of the market, you're going to have a better chance of one, raising what you want to raise, and two, as we talked about, then you actually have the ability to do that iterative process. Mm-hmm. You can say, we don't have to go for broke the first time. Mm-hmm. We don't have to immediately make our money back. It's, all right, let's get something out there. Let's test it. And then let's polish it. I think we could have condensed 2012 to 20, almost 17 into maybe a year or two.
Really?
Yeah, I think, and again, because it all worked out for us because it wasn't full time, we weren't relying on it, and it was kind of a side thing. But if I knew going in, I was like, hey, we're gonna go full time from the very beginning, and this is how quickest to get there. You need money, mm-hmm. and you need a runway of time to kind of get to where you need to be in terms of being able to sell the product that you actually want. Never would have thought that we needed as many people as we do to make it all work, and you never really realize how much money it requires to just get something off the ground. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would have raised money early, and I would have just avoided all of those kind of lags that turned an idea in 2012. What the product exists now is not far from what our first idea was. Mm-hmm. And I think, one, we didn't realize how long it would take to get to where you actually have a product that reflects the idea that you had. And two, I think if we had done it the right way or had planned ahead, we could have collapsed that in half.
Gotcha.
Again, I don't think I would change anything in the sense that, like, oh no, I wouldn't do this or I wouldn't do this. I think I would have just approached it with the idea in mind that if you're gonna do it, do it.
Right. But that's like the wiser you looking back,
yeah, of
right?
Course.
Like that's not the gunslinger.
And who knows if we had done that, maybe it wouldn't have worked.
Right.
Because if we got to this point, it's hard to argue against it. Mm-hmm. But that's what I think. I think it would have worked out as well, but faster.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows?
Cool. Anything else you want to get across or teach the people?
No, I just, I think every time we talk to anybody, we always try to be over the top about what the true mission is. It's just, the things that I wish I had in high school about that I've learned since, we're not a CrossFit company, but doing CrossFit, I've really liked the education aspect of learning how you're supposed to move, what health and fitness is, how you can better yourself. I wish I had that in high school. And that's really all we're trying to do.
Right.
And, whether it be a high school football player or just a kid trying to get in shape that likes fitness, I think everybody should have exposure to that. And that's kind of our goal, is to just get in front of as many high school kids. And if you can motivate one in every school, that's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
If you can motivate 10, that's huge.
Right.
So that's really what we're out here for. Obviously, we want to succeed in business, but that's really the underlying motivation.
Gotcha. So where can they find you? Time to plug your...
It's been a point of contention for some people. It's PLT4, the number, M,
mm-hmm.
on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We had started as Platform Athletics, and our Twitter handle was PLT4M, because that was as close as I could get.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually ended up being the thing that people remembered best, so we turned that into our company.
Yeah, so, it's catchy.
That being said, we get PLT 4AM,
yeah.
We get Platform 14. It's bizarre, the different combinations we get, but it's PLT 4M, and it's pronounced Platform.
There you go.
Easy
go enough. Follow them at PLT 4M.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, cool. All right, nice work.
Hey, thanks, man.
All right, we're out.
Good to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Bada bing, bada boom, there you have it. That was the story of Platform Athletics to present day. Again, if you want more information on Platform, at PLT4M. I want to thank our sponsors. Once again, Jim's Deli. Shouts to Jim, they're in Brighton. If you're hungry, go get some chicken pot pie. Go get some meatloaf. Go get a breakfast burrito. Jim is the fucking man. If you want more Jumpsuit Group, if you want more of me, if you want more of anything that we have to offer, follow us on Instagram at Jumpsuit Group. Check out our website, jumpsuitgroup.com. Leave us a review. DM us. We're nice people. We'll get back to you. We'll send you stickers. We'll high five you. We'll dance with you if you want. Shit. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Connor. Stay with Steel.